Amen. Thanks, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs in chapter number 13. If you were here last Sunday, we continued in this series, Parenting with Purpose, and we looked at three important ways to motivate our children. And we certainly want to motivate our children to honor and please the Lord in every area of their life, and motivating them, encouraging them, keeping them on track is a big part of that. So we learned three important aspects of that last week. Well, today, in this series, Parenting with Purpose, we're going to look at 19 additional ways to motivate your children and just kind of share some practical help. Now, to cover 19 points in one class time, we're going to have to go quick. So I'll talk quick and you listen quick, and we'll get through it. But when it comes to motivating your children, it can be a challenge, and sometimes these ideas can be helpful. It's like the woman who was asked, if you had to do it all over again, would you have children? And she thought for a moment, and she said, yes, but not the same ones. Sometimes we know that our children are heritage of the Lord, they're a gift, the fruit of the womb is His reward, and all of that. But at times it is a bit challenging, and we think, Lord, what exactly were you thinking with this gift when you gave it to me? And we do thank the Lord for children and the privilege that we have to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's what we desire to grow in, even this morning as we study God's Word. And motivating children is a powerful way to help change their behavior. And we understand the essence of being a Christian is to be less like us and more like Christ. And so in parenting, we are training our children to be less of who they are by nature and in their flesh, and to be more like Jesus Christ and in the Spirit. And it's an important journey that we are embarking upon, and we want to do our very best, and we want to help instill in our children motivation that comes from within. We gave the illustration last week about the football records being broken. Why? Because even though it didn't make sense and it seemed impossible, it happened because there was motivation from within. And if we can instill motivation within our children to do the right thing, it will help them to continue to do it beyond the years in our home. Nothing more grieving for a parent than to have a child leave their home and begin to live life on their own and turn their back to the things of the Lord. Nothing more grieving than that. And it happens way more than it should. And it's a challenge to you and I that have children in the home or who are preparing a home for children someday, that we learn how to instill these motivations in children that are deep within their own heart, that are not just our rules imposed upon them, and they comply while they're around us, but truly in their heart have no intention of ever living like this when they actually have an opportunity to do differently. But instilling within them a desire that's real, that is their own, to live and honor the Lord. And so we want to learn how to do this better. So let's look at these things practically today, and we're going to move quick. Number one, help children choose their own goals. An additional way to help motivate is help your children choose their own goals. It is more powerful if the goal is theirs, if this is something that they have set. And so help them in that endeavor. And we talked last week, that doesn't mean, you know, what are your goals? And, well, I want to date so-and-so, or I want to beat such-and-such video game, or I want to, you know, do whatever. It doesn't mean settle for goals that in light of eternity really don't matter a whole lot. We want to lead them and guide them in the right direction. We learned last week about the salt principle. We want them to thirst for the things of the Lord, and we want to help them in that endeavor, but help them set and choose their own goals. Ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, how good do you want to be in this particular area? Talk to them about things with the Lord. Hey, you're a Christian. On a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Oh, Mom, Dad, I want to be a 10. Great. Let me teach you what a 10 looks like. And teach them from God's Word. This is what a 10 looks like. And then help them set some goals to become that in their life. And so encourage them to set some goals and help them to see they are their own goals, and then encourage them to meet them. Secondly, help children visualize the positive results of achieving their goals and the negative results of not achieving their goals. Help them to see this is what a win looks like and this is what a loss feels like. I'll never forget probably 4, 5, 6 years of age. My dad was on a bus route in the rough areas in Chicago, and we would go on Saturday and we would visit folks, and we would go down to where people lived on the street, where they were full of addictions, and he would take us down there. And here's people in their homes or cardboard boxes, and their life's pursuit is to get enough money to buy the next bottle or whatever. And he would show us, hey, the commercials and those types of things that are promoting this kind of a lifestyle, this is where it ends up right here. And from a very young age, we were taught, and it was shown to us that there is an end to all of these things. And these are those who have done it right, and these are those who have chosen differently. So help your children to see the end result. By the way, that's why going soul winning is so good for your kids. My kids range from 3 to 8, and we took all 4 of them soul winning yesterday. So I had Mariah and Annalene with me. Annalene is 5. Her job was to ring all the doorbells. Mariah, who's 8, her job is to hold all the tracks. And then Daddy did the talking. And Mariah likes to talk. And so we got a couple of doors in it. She said, Dad, now can I take a door? And I said, honey, if you and I go to a door, it's going to look a little awkward if I'm standing there while you talk to this person about church and the Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and do the talking, all right? And she said, that'd be fine. And we had a good day out soul winning, and we really enjoyed our time together. But it's good to involve them in things like that. Why? Because they're seeing, wow, there's a lot of people that need the Lord. There's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people in situations that sin has resulted in that state. And we can help them to see those types of things. Thirdly, and I want to emphasize this today, stress or remember the power of praise. Remember the power of praise. Think about this for a moment as a parent. If you had 1 minute every day to say something to your child, what would you say? If you only had 60 seconds a day to communicate to your child, what would you say? And you know what we learn? Statistically, that's about as long as parents really talk to their kids. The average father in America speaks less than 60 seconds a day talking to their children. And much of it is spent kind of communicating the frustration or the inconvenience that they might be in his life. The opposite of criticism is the most powerful motivational tool, and it's praise. Now, some of you have gifts like I do. I have a gift to see the things that are not right. I can walk in and see that this row wasn't lined up the way it should have been, or this thing or whatever. You know, this piece right here on the chalkboard would drive me crazy. You know, those types of things. It's just who I am. I like everything to be perfect. I like everything to be in its place. It's just my nature. I have a gift for knowing when things are not the way that they should be. But you know what? There's a negative to that. And that is, you got to really work at praising. I can look at my kids and tell them, hey, you need to be doing this differently. But I need to work at looking at my kids and saying, hey, but you did this really well. Way to go. Good job. Why? Because praise is 10 times more powerful than criticism. Now, I'm not saying don't critique your kids and help them if they're doing something they should not do. We need to help them with that. But you know what? Oftentimes, we'll focus on the 2 things they're not doing well, and we'll miss the 10 things they're doing great. And we want to work as parents. You want your kid to repeat something? Catch them doing something good and make a big deal of it. Catch them doing something good and make a big deal of it. Encourage them through praise. When you see them clean up the room on their own or taking initiative in some way, make a big deal of that. When you see them being kind to a sibling or honor, preferring one another, make a big deal of that. When you see them have a heart for someone and maybe talking about things of the Lord, make a big deal of that. When you see them honoring father and mother, make a big deal of that. Look for things your kids are doing well and praise them for it. There's huge power in praise. Number 4, expose children to a variety of activities. As you're helping your children to establish their goals and direction and so forth, you're determining their giftedness and where God's gifted them and so on, where they have strengths. Expose them to a variety of activities. Encourage them to try a lot of things and find out where they're good and so on. Don't just shelter them in the one thing you think they're good at or that they would like to do. Expose them to several things. And let me just say, in that environment, exposing your kids to a variety of activities, make sure not to lower the sails of your convictions. Well, I really wanted to play Little League Baseball, but the only time they can play is on Sunday. Tough. Then we're going to do church. Why? Because to miss church, to go play Little League Baseball, I've just taught Junior that baseball is more important than church. I'm not exposing him to a greater world of good. I'm teaching him God is less important. So I've got to be careful in this area of having a variety of tears, which is why several weeks ago we took a whole lesson to talk about developing convictions. Because convictions are the rails your home is heading on. Convictions determine everything. I want my kids to have a variety of things. I want them to be gifted. I want them to have some cultural awareness and so on. But it's sure not going to come at the expense of church. It's sure not going to come at the expense of our convictions, of our home. Well, all the girls that do this have to take off half their clothes. Well, my girls aren't going to do it. Well, you're narrow-minded and you're this and that. You better believe it. I determined I was going to be that way before they were born, and God help me, I'll be that way when they're out of my home. Because it's a conviction. It's something deep within me. Here I'm trying to help them get goals that are deep within them. They better have a dad that has some. They better have a dad that has some that are deep within. They're not going to move. They're not going to shake. They're not going to go anywhere. They're going to be right where they should be. And so help them to see those variety of actions or activities, but make sure your convictions are driving that. Number five, expect children to do things right. How can we motivate our children? How can we develop this atmosphere in our home? Expect children to do things right. God expects children to obey. But look at this in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, so children, you are to obey your parents. What is God's grander motivation? Children, you have to obey your mom and dad. You have to honor them. Here's why. From God. For this is right. God says, kids, I want you to obey your parents for one reason. Because it's the right thing to do. We have lost an expectation of our kids doing right because it's right. Well, you ought to tell the truth. Why? What do I get out of it? You ought to work hard. Why? Nobody else does. You ought to study. Why? I don't want to. I can play video games. We live in a culture today where we do not just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. We do the right thing if somebody sees us do the right thing. We do the right thing in fear of somebody seeing us doing the wrong thing. But we've lost an ingrained sense of we're just going to do the right thing because it's right. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And I'm telling you, as moms and dads, we have to cultivate an atmosphere in our home. We expect the right thing to be done. I don't care if I'm there watching you or if you're by yourself. I don't care if you want to do it or if you don't want to do it. If it's the right thing, it should be done. That's the expectation of our home, expecting our children to do things right. Children can sense whether or not you and I expect them to do things right or to do things to the best of their ability. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that said, it is a sin to do less than your best. It is a sin to do less than your best. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Expect your children to do things right. Number six, believe your children can achieve great things. Believe your children can achieve great things. What would happen if you could only use 8% of your brain? How much would you have to give up? What would you have to do without if you had a 92% loss of mental capacity or capability? For the average person, they wouldn't have to give up anything at all. Why? Because the average person uses 8% of their brain. The average person has convinced themselves of all the things they cannot do, therefore they do not even try. Sometimes if we're not careful, even in our own homes, that kind of spirit prevails. And our kids don't try because they don't think they can. And we serve an amazing God who teaches us in Hebrews, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So may we cultivate an atmosphere in our home where we have great faith in God. Where if our kids think that they can turn the world upside down for God or be a missionary or be a preacher or be a teacher or be a difference maker in the lives of people, we want to encourage that. We want to believe that they can do great things. When we hear of great things being done. We want to breathe into our children the belief that, hey, we think that you could do this. Maybe it's sitting in church and Dr. Zachary plays an offertory and it's beautiful and it's amazing, and leaning over your child and said, hey, that could be you someday. Maybe it's a wonderful arrangement of music before the preaching and lean over your kid. Hey, that could be you singing up there someday. Maybe it's a great message being delivered and saying to your son, son, that could be you someday. I mean, just believing in all of your being that they could do something great. Given the right opportunity and encouragement, children can accomplish incredible things. We never forget, the Bible says in Psalms, his arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Hey, their arrows, they have a lot of potential, but where they go greatly depends on what direction they're pointed in. We want to believe they can do something great. Number seven, help children develop a more positive self-image. Help them develop a more positive self-image. And I'm not advocating tell them to stand in front of the mirror and, you know, I am good, I am great, and that type of thing. But help them to have some self-worth about themselves. It's like the young boy who looked on the bright side of everything, and he was given a bat and a ball from his dad, and his dad with the gift said, son, when I get home from work, I'm committing that I'm going to play an inning of baseball with you. And the boy was so excited and looking forward to that. And sure enough, when his dad arrived home, the son got out the bat and ball and they went into the backyard and they were going to have a time. And the dad was going to see what the son could do as they were going to play. So the dad kind of took the field and the little boy took the ball and he threw it up in the air and he grabbed that bat and he swung with all of his might and he missed. And his dad yelled, strike one. The little boy grabbed the ball and tossed it up in the air again and grabbed that bat and swung with all of his might and he missed. And his father said, strike two. With more determination than ever, the little boy grabbed that ball, threw it up the third time, grabbed that bat, and with all he had swung, and he missed, but he had swung so hard, he fell down. And he got up, and he kind of dusted himself off, and his dad looked at him and said, son, well, what do you think? And the little boy, full of optimism, said, well, Dad, I sure am a good pitcher, aren't I? And had a good, positive outlook. You know what? Every one of our children are a gift from God. Their life is valuable. They are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ to the extent that He gave His life for them as well as He did for you and for me. We have to make sure in our home that our kids know that. And I'm not talking about putting them up on a pedestal and that kind of a spirit. There should be a servant spirit in our home and honor preferring one another. But make sure deep down that our kids know they're somebody. They're loved by God. They're a gift from the Lord. Remind your kids, well, we're so lucky you're in our home. Boy, when birthdays or something like that come around, well, we were so blessed when God entrusted you to us. Boy, we just love you so much. Make sure that drum gets beaten. Make sure that message is sent. Make sure they have that positive self-image. Number eight, reward your children. Reward your children. And this would kind of go alongside with praise, but reward your children. Now, be careful that they don't learn to expect a reward for everything. We've been doing a lot of work at our home lately, and we've got several families going to stay with us for the conference and so forth. And so Memorial Day, I got the kids up and I said, now listen, we're going to go and we're going to pull a lot of weeds, and we're going to do a lot of work people don't like to do, but we're going to go do it. And if you work hard, Dad's going to get your Slurpee. You know, they had a 49-cent special going on the Slurpee. So we were managing our resources well, but we were going to splurge and get them a 49-cent Slurpee for a good 5 or 6 hours a week, boy. So, and they don't understand all that yet, you know, so it works out really well. So, we got them up early. We got our gear on. We got out there to pull weeds and to work, you know, and they worked pretty hard, and we were making sure they were working hard and so on. And then afterwards it was, all right, you guys earned it. Let's go get that, Slurpee. And we went over there and they had 7 different flavors and they all 4 got all 7 flavors in their cup. You know, that's the way to get those Slurpees. And so we got the lids on there and we got them. And we rewarded them for working hard. And I told them, hey, we're going to do that. Well, a couple days went by and we had dinner as a family Thursday or Friday or something this week. And Annalene sat next to me at dinner. And she said, Dad, we worked again today, didn't we? And I said, we sure did. And she looked at me with those big blue eyes and she said, Dad, what's our reward today? What are we getting today for this work? And I said, Annalene, you're eating your reward. You're getting dinner, child. You're getting a roof over your head. You're getting clothes on your back. Hey, there's not always going to be a reward. Now, sometimes there will be, and we want to have a reward, and we want to reward them for doing the right thing. But conversely, we don't want to develop an environment or an expectation that, well, for me to do anything, there better be something in it for me. No, you're just going to do right because it's right. You're going to keep that room clean because it's your room. You're going to whatever, whatever, because it's what we're supposed to do. So reward your kids, but make sure you're not developing an atmosphere where it's expected. You want to make sure it's special and reserve it for that extra effort that they might place forth. Number nine, use the old you can't do it principle. Have you ever said that to your kid? Oh, you can't do that. And then you just see that determination inside them. Oh, you want to bet? And sometimes that's a great motivation. Oh, this is too heavy. You could lift that or whatever. I mean, you can use it in a myriad of ways, but it's a good motivation principle. Number 10, expose your children to people you admire. This is huge. Expose your children to people you admire. Missions conference. Get missionaries in your home. Invite Pastor and Mrs. Chapel. Would you come to our home for a meal? Find someone else in this ministry and get them around your family. Who do you admire? Whose marriage do you admire? Who reared some kids and did it right? And get around them. We've enjoyed time in being here a short time, but like with Dr. and Mrs. Zachary or Dr. Tom Shepherd and his dear wife, and getting around some families that they're a little bit further down the road and they've done some things right and we can glean from them. Expose your kids to that. Get them around those things. Wait in line to shake pastor's hand at your church. Get the whole family to do it. And train your kids. Now, when you shake hands, boy, make sure you shake a good firm handshake and look them right in the eye, you know. And don't give me this fish handshake, you know. Squeeze that hand, son. And teach them how to do it. But then get them around people you admire. And it will help cultivate those things in your home. Number 11, be persistent. Be persistent. As a parent, I don't know that we'll ever understand how motivating persistence can be. Now, I'm not advocating nagging, and ladies, and we're certainly not picking on you, but ladies have more of a tendency to nag. And I want to encourage all of us as parents, do not get in the habit of asking twice. Okay? You ask once. You're the parent. If there's not immediate response to your request, then deal with the problem. Okay? Rewind a couple lessons, go to biblical correction, and handle it. Why? Because when mommy and daddy speak, action should take place. Why? Because we're training children to have a relationship with God. And when God speaks, He expects us to do something about it. Delayed obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. And the Bible is full of illustrations for us to use. And so, be persistent. Have convictions and stay after it. Number 12, be enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic. People like being around enthusiastic people. Have you ever been around somebody who's laughing and you had no idea what they were laughing about, but they just kept laughing, so you kind of started grinning. Then you kind of started chuckling. Then before you knew, you're kind of laughing with them because they just won't stop laughing. You don't know what they're laughing about, but they got you going because indeed it is contagious. And enthusiasm is that way. And I want to encourage us as parents, and your hearts determine what you're going to be enthusiastic about. And I want to encourage you, be enthusiastic about things of the Lord. Annalene came into our room this morning early, and she said, Dad, what day is it? And I said, Annalene, it's Sunday. Isn't this awesome? It's the greatest day of the week. We get to go to church. Now, that is truly the way I feel about the Lord's Day. But I want to be sure in the hearts of my four children that the Lord's Day is elevated, but every other day of the week. Why? Because it's God's day. It's a big day. It is Sunday. Be enthusiastic. The Bible says in Romans, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit serving the Lord. May there be a fervent spirit about serving the Lord in our home and a contagious enthusiasm. Number 13, develop strong inner convictions. Think about the people in your life who have had a major impact or a lasting impact. It's probably somebody who had strong convictions. Why? Because it's just impactful, especially in this day where it's not very popular. And I want to encourage us as couples and as parents in this class that we develop strong inner convictions. And we taught a lesson. You can go online and you can listen to it if you missed it. But how to develop strong inner convictions. Getting to the Word of God, from the truths of the Word of God, developing this is the way our home is going to be governed according to the Scriptures. It will be a huge help to your children. There's a lot of things your children should never question. Does Dad love Mom? Does Mom love Dad? Is Dad going to stay with Mom? Is Mom going to stay with Dad? Do Mom and Dad love God? Are we going to read the Bible? Are we going to go to church? Are we going to do what's right? Are we going to obey God's Word? I mean, there should be 50 questions that your kids and my kids never have to ask. because it's just, this is what we do. It's as routine as the meals you eat. It's as routine as personal hygiene. I mean, it is so predictable, it's not funny. And that ought to be that way in our homes. It will immensely help us strong in a conviction. Number 14, use contracts. I may teach about this later this series. I'm kind of teetering back and forth. But as your kids get older, contracts can be a neat help with drawing up. How are we going to do things? It may be biblically based, but kind of in agreement in that way. Number 15, encouragement from peers. Moms and dads, be careful who your kids' friends are. Why? You want to know a huge motivator? Encouragement from their peers. Encouragement from the peers. It's huge peer pressure. So make sure you're helping to get the right people around them. Why? Because nearness is likeness. Number 16, create a positive, successful experience. When your kids are setting goals, when they're striving to move forward, when you're trying to motivate them, help them to have a positive, successful experience. If they're trying to, you know, I don't know, just trying to read their Bible every day, or they're trying to get a better grade or whatever, help them. Get them a win. He used to call it, get a feather in their cap. Get them something they can look at and say, I can do this. There's hope for me. And some of the kids might pick something up and do well. Some of them are going to need some encouragement, and we want to help create that for them. Number 17, wait for the children to act on their own. Now, we want to help our kids, and we want to tell them what needs to be done. But there are times where we need to light a fire under our kids. But then there are times where we need to pull back and wait for them to act on their own. And what I mean by that is we need to work at teaching initiative. Teach your children, hey, do you notice your room getting dirty? Well, when it's getting that way, you should clean it. So it shouldn't take mom and dad every time telling you, clean your room. You should better notice when it's dirty and clean it. Teach initiative. Encourage them to act on their own. Then when they do this, back up to that praise. When you walk in and they're cleaning the room and no one asked them, I mean, you should make a holiday out of it. I mean, go big. Make sure you praise the things you're seeing your kids and do well. Number 18, accountability and support. Encouraging your family to share their goals. What are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? Then let's keep each other accountable. Let's support one another. And that's good for your kids to know some of your goals. Here's what we're trying to do as a family. Let's encourage one another. Let's stay after this thing. Accountability and support. And lastly, number 19, tender touching and listening. Why? Because when anybody goes to set a goal or goes to set a direction or goes to do something for God, you know what's going to happen? They're going to fall short. But the Bible says a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. You want to know why that just man got up seven times? Well, because he was just, but probably because he had some encouragement. And you know what? We want to make sure in our homes there's encouragement. There's a tender touch. There's a listening ear. Hey, you'll get them next time. Hey, get back up. Hey, we're going to make it. Let's go. We're not going to be perfect, and our kids are not going to be perfect. Let's have an accepting environment. Let's have an environment where we're pushing each other forward. The Bible says we are to provoke one another unto good works. May every member of your family be better because of the way your home operates. It's a place of pushing one another forward for the things of God and to accomplish more in this life. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for your word and for our time together today. We do pray that you help our homes to be strengthened and that indeed they would be environments of motivation to do great things for you. And we'll sure praise and thank you for every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.